Praise the Lord, everyone. We're Angelo and Carrie with the broadcast Make Straight the Way of the Lord. Thank God we could be here on May 1st, 2002, preaching the Word of God. Stay with us this afternoon for the next half hour. We'll be talking about the commandments of the living God. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Thank God we could be here this afternoon. Thank God that we are making straight the way of the Lord. You know, I always start off our broadcast with the scripture in Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 3. Isaiah says, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God," which coincides, of course, with the New Testament scripture with John the Baptist in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 23. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah." Amen. That is such an important thing. You know, every week we talk to different people, and we can see the word of the Lord is not straight. It's not made straight with them. Their churches, their doctrines are so crooked that it's very sad to us that, you know, a lot of churches have the outward facade of holiness, the big cathedrals, the big giant churches, tremendous congregations, international broadcasts, but when we hear their doctrine, we could see it has diverted from the word of the living God. You know, I thank God that we have the word of God, because we believe, as it says in Psalms 119, verse 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. In Psalm 12, verse 6, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Praise the Lord. And my wife is here this afternoon, and we have so many things to talk about.
Amen, Angelo. One of the first things we want to talk about is looking at what Angelo just spoke about, the churches of today. You know, they're telling their congregation soothing words, making them feel good. They go to church on Sunday, go have lunch and go mow the lawn, and think that they've done their time for God. But what we're hearing from people are things that we want to speak about today. And the first one that we want to talk about is, while you're in church, there's things you should question always. Remember that your pastor is not going to be there at judgment with you, explaining why you did the things you did or why you did not do the things you did. So that we want to bring to mind some things you should question. And the first thing, and I think Angelo touched on it, was you have to question which Bible you're reading.
Amen.
Because we believe the Word of God is preserved. And when they tell you that the King James Bible isn't the Bible, and they say that their new Bibles just took out the these and thous, it's incorrect, and we think you need to go out there and you need to do some research yourself. The second thing that we think we should question is when they tell you that you can't keep the commandments.
That's right. You know, what my wife's talking about is actual, these are actual scriptures. The Bible says in 2 Timothy verse 4, chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "Prove all things." We talk to different people during the week, and we find out they prove nothing. They don't examine themselves. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, "Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves." And we find out most people don't, they just take for granted that their minister, who is just another person, does not know everything. We don't know everything. That's why the Bible says to prove all things, study to show yourself approved.
Amen. And when they tell you that, oh, you can't keep the commandments, or that you're a work in progress, and everybody sins, and all that kind of thing, remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And also, he said, "Go and sin no more."
Amen. You know, that's very important. You know, I thank God for his word. You know, I know that, you know, I live in the South here, and it's a great place, and but it's such an unusual place, because people, as my wife was saying, they've made a tradition of just serving the Lord on Sunday, the first day of the week, Yom Rishon, as it's said in Hebrew, and Wednesday. and they don't think about God any other time, or, you know, God's just a passing thought. When I was looking up some scriptures this morning, it says numerous places how serving the Lord is a daily thing, to pick up your cross daily. You know, it talks about the Apostle Paul, how they, and the Lord Jesus Christ, how they went daily into the temple and into schools, and they went everywhere. It's a daily thing you're supposed to be doing. God is supposed to be on your mind consciously. It's not supposed to be just something when you just get sick, or you get old, or you just you want something for yourself. But God is a living God. He says he demands a holy people. And I believe the churches do not preach the scriptures where it says, "Be thou holy, for because the Lord thy God is holy, and be thou perfect." You know, it's keeping the commandments is not, the Bible says they're not grievous.
Amen. In fact, you know, when people say that to me, because it just comes out of their mouth, they're not thinking. It's just, you know, something that they hear, it's a habit, and they say, "You can't keep the commandments." And I always say, "Really? Which one you having trouble with?"
That's right. That's a, I always love to hear that, too, because when you look at the Ten Commandments, yes, which one are you having trouble with? Which one is confusing you? I mean, God gives you the power to keep his commandments. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're saved. And, you know, after that he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments."
Amen. And the one that we want to talk about today, besides all of them, is the one that we know people are not keeping. And that's the Sabbath. The Sabbath was never called off. Jesus said it's okay to do well on the Sabbath. He didn't call it off. As you know, it's all over the New Testament that they met on the Sabbath. They spoke about the Sabbath in Acts. But also, I want to speak about some scriptures that say keep the commandments, and they're all over the place. So when you're hearing these, I want you to say to yourself, when it says keep the commandments, which ones are you talking about? Because it's saying it, and I hear people say it who I know don't keep the commandments, but still they say it. In Matthew 19:17, "And he said unto them, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Of course, that means if you want to go to heaven, keep the commandments. In John 14:15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." John 15:10 says, "If ye keep my commandments, if ye abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." In 1 Corinthians 7:19 it says, "Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing." We know that. But the keeping of the commandments of God, that is what is important. 1 John 7:3, "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him."
That's right. You know, I just can't understand what people do not see that. It's all through the Bible. I mean, just numerous places where God commands us to keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. You know, I thank God for the righteousness of God. I thank God for his word. You know, it says in the Bible that we wouldn't even know what sin was. It says in the book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. It says, Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet."
And what does it mean by covet? Where is that written?
Everything's from the Old Testament, the Tanakh.
Amen. That's exactly right.
You know, it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we know from example that different people have given us, they mix up that scripture. Christ did not redeem us from the law. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law was punishment by death in the Old Testament. So Christ now is the advocate with the Father. He's the propitiation for our sins. And I thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, now we can go up to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. And he's more than willing to forgive you your trespasses and sins if you just call upon his name.
Amen. And as we said before, the propitiation means atonement sacrifice, because that is what Jesus fulfilled in the law, is we no longer have to go through the Levitical priesthood. Now we can go directly to God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we have some very good examples also in the New Testament of people who kept the commandments and ordinances. And one of them, of course, well, two of them were, of course, Zacharias and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents.
Let me interject here one moment, Carrie. You're saying now commandments and ordinances. You know, you never hear that word ordinances anymore in any of the churches.
I think what people are confusing it with is when they read this in the New Testament, they think it was new. And that's not true.
That's right.
There's only one new commandment in the New Testament that Jesus said, and that is that you love each other as he so has loved you, meaning
Amen.
You give up your life. He gave up his life for us. But let's talk about, again, Elizabeth and Zacharias, John the Baptist's parents. Here's what it says about them. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. Which is, you know, when I die, I want to be blameless in the ordinances and the commandments of God. I'm going to read some ordinances to you. You all know the commandments. You can look them up in Exodus 20. And you know that it says keep holy the Sabbath day, and you know that that's Saturday. So I think that's something you need to look up yourself and go through yourself, because all the people that we know who have gone back to the commandments have come out of their churches and questioned. So if you're going to question, please do and read for yourself. But just so you know about the ordinances, that you're going to recognize some of these. Here's one of them. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. You thought that was only in the New Testament. Jesus spoke that, and so did the lawyer speaking from the Old Testament. But here it was there all the time in Deuteronomy 6:5. In Leviticus it says, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord.
You know, I just wanted to say, you know, speaking about lying, no, people don't even think about it that anymore. Lying is not a big deal. They say, oh, everyone lies. Everyone tells a little white lie. Matter of fact, I had the TV set on one time, and I was listening to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, I can't remember which one, and they were saying it's healthy for your children to lie. And I thought, how satanic. You know, here we have these professional people that are, most of them are atheist or believe in some New Age religion, and they talk about sins of God like they're nothing. The Bible says no liar is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You know, that's what we got to watch out for, you know, where our children go to school, because they have convinced everybody that, we, you know, too bad, all these, all of us people came from monkeys. We don't believe that. The Bible says there's one kind of flesh of fish, of beasts, and there's another kind of flesh of people. You know, it says that in Corinthians. And if you don't have the Word of God as your final authority, you don't know these things. All these people that come at you with all their credentials and all their titles and doctor this and professor that and PhD that, believe me, none of those things matter when you stand before the living God, because we have the Word of God. He's made it very simple that he says that a child could understand. And I thank God for the simplicity of the gospel.
Amen. Because if someone says to you, it's okay to sin, or you don't have to keep the commandments, does that sound like the Bible? Does that sound like something Jesus would tell you? You know it's not.
Yeah, we talk to different people during the week, and that's where all these shows come from. I'll be honest with you folks. We pray about it, and we talk to different people, and most of the time they always say that, oh, you know, come on, everyone does that. And that's not an excuse. The Bible says not to follow a multitude to do evil. And usually, most of the time, if a pastor or minister is not keeping a certain commandment or ordinance, of course he's not going to preach on that.
Or one of the tithers, the big tithers of the church.
Right. Most of the time, they don't want to lose any of their big tithers. And we have seen these things over and over the years. You know, these ordinances that Carrie, my wife, speaking about, you know, when looking even in the book of Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 11, verse 1 says, this is the Apostle Paul. He says, be ye followers of me, as I am also of Christ. It says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them unto you." You know.
Amen. And as I said before, a lot of people who don't read the Old Testament, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Exodus, don't realize that all these things came from the Old Testament. Everything that is sin is described in the Old Testament, so there's no confusion. There would be confusion if you only read the New Testament because it'd be spotty. They talk about respect of persons as a sin, right? Well, that comes from the Old Testament also. Thou shalt not do unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. So that comes from the Old Testament. It says, thou shalt not hate thy neighbor in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. So again, you thought that if you hate your brother in your heart, that's a sin. You thought that was new. Mm-mm. It's from the Old Testament. Also, you shall not eat anything with blood. That's also in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. It's still true today. You're not supposed to eat the blood because...
because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And, you know, so that's something people don't even think about when they go out to dinner at a restaurant and they say, I'll take my steak rare or medium well with a little bit of blood. They don't even think about, hey, it says in the Bible, thou shalt not eat the blood. And it's nothing we made up. You could look this up in your New Testament.
Amen. And, you know some things that are wrong that aren't written in the New Testament. For instance, it doesn't say in the New Testament that you're not supposed to have sex with your sister or your brother's wife. But guess what? It's in the ordinances. You know that.
You know, I've heard recently that some people say, oh, those are written on my heart. But you know what? You better go make sure by reading the Word. The Bible says to do it daily. Matter of fact, it says in the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, give us this day our daily bread. And that's why we better read the Word of God, because you might be missing one. So you better go read that Bible.
Amen. And there's a couple more that you might be real interested in. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. And also, you have necromancy. You can't speak with the dead. And all those people who are using astrology daily, that's an abomination unto God. It says, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meter yard, in weight, or in measure. In other words, we have to be honest, always.
You know something, after speaking to a few people this last week, you know, I detect Satan is so crafty that there's a doctrine out there. It's called eternal security, or once saved, always saved. This doctrine is very demonic, and what has some other churches have done, they've coded that and colored it where they don't use those words anymore, but they give the people the impression that, you know, hey, everyone sins, not a big deal. You know, if they read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So you're not supposed to be sinning. You know, you're not supposed to go along with anyone who speaks with that type of tongue where, oh, everyone does it and everyone lies and don't worry about it. You better worry about it and worry. I would leave that person immediately.
Because I don't think any sin enters the kingdom of God, does it? One of my favorite verses for against eternal security is Romans 11:22. It says, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off.
Cut off. That's right. You know, cut off in the Old Testament means killed. So, and this is, we can give you numerous scriptures about this evil doctrine called eternal security. You know, if God spared not the angels that sinned and cast them down to hell, and he spared not the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, and just think about it, as it was in the days of Noah, just think about that. The whole world was drowned. Only 8 people were saved. You know, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And that's why I thank the Lord that for his mercy. He's a gracious God. He's a loving God. He did it all for us. God sent his only begotten Son into the world. He became a curse for us. He hung on a tree. It says, cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. And he did it all for us. He shed his precious blood so we could have eternal life. You know, that's another thing I just want to interject with this. It's so funny. Just a few weeks ago, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he could not even answer. We've asked him numerous times in the conversation, after you serve the Lord, keep his commandments, what do you get at the end? He didn't even know. He could not answer that simple question. Folks, it's all about eternal life, the promise of eternal life. That's in numerous places in the New Testament. It's all about the kingdom of heaven. There's actually a kingdom of heaven. There's people in heaven right now as I'm speaking to you. It says that in the Bible. For people that do not know that, you need to look these scriptures up. So I thank the Lord that, yes, there is blessings, and there's things that we can't even imagine waiting for us if we love God and keep his commandments.
Before I was saved, I didn't know what born again means. But obviously, if you're born again, people are going to notice a big difference in you. If they don't, you're really not. Because after you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus who died for you on the cross and shed his blood for you, and not so you can sin willingly, think of it, people out there. Do you think Jesus died on the cross so that you can have a free-for-all here on this earth, that you can do whatever you want willingly? That never was so, and it never is so. Because he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me, he's not worthy of me. You have to change your life. You have to, in your heart, you have to not want to sin anymore, because keeping God's commandments aren't grievous to you. And with God's help, with the Holy Spirit, you're able to do this.
Amen. Such an amazing thing to talk to people, and you know, they don't even know what salvation is or how to get saved or what being born again is. Being saved and being born again is synonymous. Baptism, water baptism, does not save your soul. It's not water that washes the sins off. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that washes the sins off our soul. It is a commandment to get baptized, but it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses someone, and then becoming a new creature, reading that Bible every day. It's very important to read every day, to pray every day. It's just like it's to be compared to you take a shower every day, don't you? You brush your teeth every day. Same thing. You have to do the ingredients that you need spiritually to get you to the kingdom of heaven. That's reading, praying, fasting, seeking the Lord. And that's done every day. And the Bible does say, you know, the 6 days you're supposed to work. 6 days, it says. It makes it very clear. And the seventh day is the day of rest, the Sabbath. It's that simple. God knows we're going to be working our brains out. That's why on the seventh day he commanded us, because he knows we're so silly. He had to command us to rest. I thank God for the Sabbath of the Lord. Thank God for the commandments of the Lord. And I just thank God for the Word.
Amen. Because Angela and I have found, since we've been keeping the Sabbath, because it is a commandment of God, that is our favorite day, because we do no work on that day. You know, you don't make the bed. We always get our groceries the day before so we can make a sandwich. You don't really cook a big meal. We don't go to restaurants because there's people working there. It says, let no stranger work. We want to keep that day for God. Keep it holy. And it's a fabulous day.
Amen. Yeah. That's right. We keep it holy, and it's very simple, folks. We don't keep any religion of man. What we keep is the Sabbath means to reflect on the creation of God. Take a whole day off, man. Think about the Lord. Read the Bible. Pray. Do the works of Christ. Christ said it's okay to do good on the Sabbath. Go witness and testify. Win some souls. God is a reasonable God, a holy God, a just God. And, you know, that's why he's given us a total day, just to rest in the Lord. And I love that. I look forward to that.
Out there, when you're in church, and your pastor's telling you that to go to church on Sunday, question that. Sure, you can go to church on Sunday. It's not bad to go to church. You can go to church every day. But if they tell you you don't have to keep the Sabbath, which is the fourth commandment, or any of the commandments, or the ordinances, which is, like I said, things you already know, not to have respect of persons, that's one of them. Question it. Question everything, because it's your salvation. It's not theirs. It's individual.
Amen. And make sure you please get a King James version of the Bible. And the reason why we suggest that is we have done an extensive study, an exhaustive study, and also with other associates. Yes, it is identical to the actual Tanakh, the old scriptures, the Hebrew, and the Textus Receptus, which is the Greek. So please do that. You know, I want to read a scripture here in Ecclesiastes. And excuse me, it's chapter 12, verse 12. And further by these, my son, be admonished. So let's be admonished. Of the making of many books, there is no end. You know, people want to give you books all day long to read. Book here, and you put the TV on, read this book, read that book, inspiration book. Forget that, because the Bible says, of the making of many books, there's no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, the things you think you're sneaking around with, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And that is the word of God. You know, I just thank God for the blood. Thank God for the word of God. And, you know, I thank God for this broadcast. It just seems like we always have piles of information, piles of scriptures. We just can't seem to get it all in. But I hope you got the message, folks. Please question where you are in your Christian life. Question the church you go to. Find out what Bible you're reading. Prove your own self. We are Make Straight the Way of the Lord. God bless everyone. May the Lord bless your lives. The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Scars in the hands of my chin.